Here I am, Alan Chartok, in the Congressional Corner with Representative Paul Tonko, my friend. He can always take a little ribbing, which is what I love about the guy. So let's start with an astounding poll. It said 4 out of 10 Americans would re-elect Trump. 4 out of 10 would re-elect Trump. So what do you want the nominee for president to be?
I think we need someone who will tackle some of the tough issues of our time. Infrastructure, someone who supports a sound bit of investment in infrastructure, one who believes in climate change and wants to leave the planet in better stead than what we inherited, and to share that better planet with generations to come.
Look, Paul Tonko, I'm telling you now what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden. I don't care what anybody says. Gillibrand is not going to be the candidate for president. And I'm telling you that now. So I don't know if you knew that, but I want to know if those are the choices, where will you be?
I think that we need someone who can work well with Congress.
Is that Joe Biden?
I think Joe Biden has proven that.
Is that Bernie Sanders?
I think I did not serve with Bernie Sanders in the House, and don't have that much interaction with his assignments in the Senate. From what I gather, I think the stronger coordinator with Congress is Joe Biden. And also, I think that we need someone who is electable. And I think Joe Biden brings that trust factor, that warm and fuzzy, if you will, the guy next door, the person next door. I think it's so important for this country, I believe, for the Democratic nominee to be an electable candidate, one that is truly seen to be able to win the election in 2020. It's at an openness in government. It's the networking with government. It's partnering with Congress. I remember my initial days on the Hill in Washington. President Obama was just elected. He came in and met with the various sectors of Congress, building a relationship. What can we work on together? Tell me what your goals are. Tell me your priorities. That's the sort of interaction we need. And we don't get that with this administration. I think it's at times there's almost a disdain for Congress. Now, some people may cynically approve that, but I think it's important for us to have that give and take with the executive and legislative branches.
Do you think it's possible that Donald Trump is insane? This is a serious question.
I don't know. I do a lot of work on mental health policy, and I do my best to make certain services are there for people who have an illness or a mental health disorder. I don't know. I know the stats. 1 in 5 of us struggles with mental illness or mental health disorder. And
I think it's 5 in 5, but what can I tell you? I mean, I think a lot of people have moments of mental distress.
Depression, distress, sure. Yes, absolutely. And so it impacts a great many of us.
Okay. So I take it the answer is you ain't answering.
I don't know. I'm not a clinician, but, all I know is we need to move forward. We need to have debate on issues, and we need to resort to facts, not fiction, and to science. An embracing of science, not a denial of science.
When are we going to get the Mueller report?
Everyone rumored that it would be late February, early March. And, I think if there's one thing that's imparted as a message, unspoken message, is that the investigator, Mr. Mueller, is very thorough. He is not going to be pressured by, targeted dates by which to complete your report. And he has great respect on both sides of the aisle.
Are we going to see that report? Do we, the public?
Well, hopefully the committees in the House under Democratic control are pledging to the public we'll do everything possible to get those reports made public. I think the public deserves a right to know what's in that report, what the recommendations are, and if they warrant further action, I think that you'll see the House moving forward to further develop the observations or the the conclusions made in the report.
So conclusions are coming fast and furious. Right now we have your colleague, Representative Wes Seider, Jerry Nadler, basically condemning the president and saying he broke the law.
Well, yeah, you know, I think Jerry Nadler is a very capable chair of a very important committee at this time.
Sure.
And he will, with great integrity, thoroughly review what's happening, he and his fellow committee members. And he won't be bullied away from doing that work. I know his character.
You know, I know his character, too, and he's capable of holding his own with anybody. He rose through the process on the west side of Manhattan, and he didn't take any prisoners. I remember it because I was there, and I remember it.
He
can be very mean if he needs to be.
Well, I think in this case he's been very academic and very much process-oriented, and he's taking steps along the way that are, I think, the appropriate steps, and he will not... One thing Jerry is very thorough. He works through the process very strategically and very legitimately.
You have a treatment bill on, we have almost 2 minutes, but only 2 minutes, but on the opioid crisis.
Right.
Is it moving along at all? And what
it
are you
is.
Trying to get
we
done?
Just filed and getting good cooperation from the Senate. We have what we call a reentry bill, so that if you're incarcerated and qualify for Medicaid, we would start your treatment 30 days before your release date, because the statistics indicate that you're 129% more likely to suffer an overdose within 15 days of release, primarily because your system has physiologically adjusted while you're incarcerated. And we believe that that treatment is the appropriate thing to do, so that people leave that incarceration center with being in better shape rather than poorer shape, and to avoid consequences again.
Is the situation getting better or worse right now?
You know, one would hope that it's getting better, but I'm concerned about the statistics. You still see the U.S. Utilizing a great majority, 80%+ of illicit drugs, while we're about 4.5% of the world's population. And so it's a crisis that needs to be addressed as such.
Is there a possibility, I got to go really quickly here, is there a possibility that we're throwing the baby out with the dirty water? I think doctors are loath at this stage of the game to prescribe opioids because they've been criticized as being behind one of the major parts of the crisis. And yet, I had a dying brother-in-law lying in a hospital, lying in a facility where they were offering him Tylenol when he was clearly in great pain.
Right. There is that balancing act that we need to do for those who are trying to manage pain and require some sort of prescription. And I know people are very aware of that. They're trying their best to provide that balance without... walking away from the opioid crisis that exists out there for far too many.
Well, Tonko, we can never get enough of having you on the air.
Well,
we hope you'll come back.
I'm pleased to join you.
I know you're extremely busy, and you know you go to a lot of different places. But just be sure that your staff knows that at the top of the list is WAMC.
we will remind them. And again, it's always a pleasure to join you and your listeners. I hear it all the time when I'm in the district. People do listen to your show.
Well, that's very good. Thank you, Paul.
Okay.